Next, we are asked to describe the elements that need to be covered in a thorough industry analysis. A thorough industry analysis should include the following elements. Evaluate the relationships between macroeconomic variables and industry trends using information from industry groups, firms in the industry, competitors, suppliers, and customers. Estimate industry variables using different approaches and scenarios. Compare with other analysts' forecasts of industry variables to confirm the validity of the analysis and potentially find industries that are misvalued as a result of consensus forecasts. Determine the relative valuation of different industries. Compare the valuations of industries across time to determine the volatility of their performance over the long run and during different phases of the business cycle. This is useful for long-term investing as well as short-term industry rotation based on the current economic environment. Analyze industry prospects based on strategic groups, which are groups of firms that are distinct from the rest of the industry due to the delivery or complexity of their products or barriers to entry. For example, full-service hotels are a distinct market segment within the hotel industry. Classify industries by life cycle stage, whether it is embryonic, growth, shakeout, mature, or declining. Position the industry on the experience curve, which shows the cost per unit relative to output. The curve declines because of increases in productivity and economies of scale, especially in industries with high fixed costs. Consider the forces that affect industries, which include demographic, macroeconomic, governmental, social, and technological influences. Examine the forces that determine competition within an industry. The next LOS asks us to describe the principles of strategic analysis of an industry. Industries differ markedly in profitability because of differences in economic fundamentals, industry structure, and degree of competition. In some industries, competition is intense and few firms earn economic profits. Economic profits, the return on invested capital minus its cost, are greater than 20% in some industries and negative in others. The degree of economic profits depends in part on pricing power or the elasticity of demand for the firm's products. An analyst should understand that industry conditions and profits can change dramatically over time, so industry analysis should be forward-looking. One component of an analyst's industry analysis should be strategic analysis, which examines how an industry's competitive environment influences a firm's strategy. The analysis framework developed by Michael Porter delineates five forces that determine industry competition. First is rivalry among existing competitors. Rivalry increases when many firms of relatively equal size compete within an industry. Slow growth leads to competition as firms fight for market share, and high fixed costs lead to price decreases as firms try to operate at full capacity. For example, the high fixed costs in the auto industry from capital investments and labor contracts force firms to produce a large number of vehicles that they can only sell at low margins. Industries with products that are undifferentiated or have barriers, are costly, to exit, tend to have high levels of competition. Second is the threat of entry. Industries that have significant barriers to entry, for example, large capital outlays for facilities, will find it easier to maintain premium pricing. It is costly to enter the steel or oil production industries. Those industries have large barriers to entry and thus less competition from newcomers. An analyst should identify factors that discourage new entrants, such as economies of scale. The third force is the threat of substitutes. Substitute products limit the profit potential of an industry because they limit the prices firms can charge by increasing the elasticity of demand. Commodity-like products have high levels of competition and low profit margins. The more differentiated the products are within an industry, the less price competition there will be. For example, in the pharmaceutical industry, patents protect a producer from competition in the markets for patented drugs. Fourth is the power of buyers. Buyers' ability to bargain for lower prices or higher quality influences industry profitability. Bargaining by governments and ever larger healthcare providers have put downward pressure even on patented drugs. The fifth competitive force is the power of suppliers. Suppliers' ability to raise prices or limit supply influences industry profitability. Suppliers are more powerful if there are just a few of them and their products are scarce. For example, Microsoft is one of the few suppliers of operating system software and thus has pricing power. The first two forces deserve further attention because almost all firms must be concerned about the threat of new entrants and competition that would erode profits. Studying these forces also helps the analyst better understand the subject firm's competitors and prospects. The following summary describes how these two factors influence the competitive environment in an industry. Higher barriers to entry reduce competition. Greater concentration, with a small number of firms controlling a large part of the market, reduces competition, whereas market fragmentation, with a large number of firms each having a small market share, increases competition. Unused capacity in an industry, especially if prolonged, results in intense price competition. For example, underutilized capacity in the auto industry has resulted in very competitive pricing. Stability in market share reduces competition. For example, loyalty of a firm's customers tends to stabilize market share and profits. More price sensitivity in customer buying decisions results in greater competition. And greater maturity of an industry results in slowing growth. Our next LOS is to explain the effects of barriers to entry, industry concentration, industry capacity and market share stability on pricing power and price competition. First, we will examine barriers to entry. High barriers to entry benefit existing industry firms because they prevent new competitors from competing for market share and reducing the existing firm's return on capital. In industries with low barriers to entry, firms have little pricing power and competition reduces existing firms' return on capital. To assess the ease of entry, the analyst should determine how easily a new entrant to the industry could obtain the capital, intellectual property, and customer base needed to be successful. One method of determining the ease of entry is to examine the composition of the industry over time. If the same firms dominate the industry today as 10 years ago, entry is probably difficult. High barriers to entry do not necessarily mean firm pricing power is high. Industries with high barriers to entry may have strong competition among existing firms. This is more likely when the products sold are undifferentiated and commodity-like, or when high barriers to exit result in overcapacity. For example, an automobile factory may have a low value in an alternative use, making firm owners less likely to exit the industry. They continue to operate even when losing money, hoping to turn things around, which can result in industry overcapacity and intense price competition. Low barriers to entry do not ensure success for new entrants. Barriers to entry may change over time, and so might the competitive environment. Next, we will look at industry concentration. High industry concentration does not guarantee pricing power. Absolute market share may not matter as much as a firm's market share relative to its competitors. A firm may have a 50% market share, but if a single competitor has the other 50%, their 50% share would not result in a great degree of pricing power. Return on capital is limited by intense competition between the two firms. Conversely, a firm that has a 10% market share, when no competitor has more than 2%, may have a good degree of pricing power and high return on capital. If industry products are undifferentiated and commodity-like, then consumers will switch to the lowest-priced producer. The more importance consumers place on price, the greater the competition in an industry. Greater competition leads to lower return on capital. Industries with greater product differentiation in regard to features, reliability, and service after the sale will have greater pricing power. Return on capital can be higher for firms that can better differentiate their products. If the industry is capital intensive and therefore costly to enter or exit, overcapacity can result in intense price competition. Tobacco, alcohol, and confections are examples of highly concentrated industries in which firms' pricing power is relatively strong. Automobiles, aircraft, and oil refining are examples of highly concentrated industries with relatively weak pricing power. Although industry concentration does not guarantee pricing power, a fragmented market does usually result in strong competition. When there are many industry members, firms cannot coordinate pricing, firms will act independently, and because each member has such a small market share, any incremental increase in market share may make a price decrease profitable. Next, we examine industry capacity. Industry capacity has a clear impact on pricing power. Under capacity, a situation in which demand exceeds supply at current prices, results in pricing power and higher return on capital. Overcapacity, with supply greater than demand at current prices, will result in downward pressure on price and lower return on capital. An analyst should be familiar with the industry's current capacity and its planned investment in additional capacity. Capacity is fixed in the short run and variable in the long run. In other words, given enough time, producers will build enough factories and raise enough capital to meet demand at a price close to minimum average cost. However, producers may overshoot the optimal industry capacity, especially in cyclical markets. For example, producers may start to order new equipment during an economic expansion to increase capacity. By the time they bring the additional production onto the market, the economy may be in a recession with decreased demand. A diligent analyst can look for signs that the planned capacity increases of all producers who may not take into account the capacity increases of other firms, some to more output than industry demand will support. Capacity is not necessarily physical. For example, an increase in demand for insurance can be more easily and quickly met than an increase in demand for a product requiring physical capacity, such as electricity or refined petroleum products. If capacity is physical and specialized, overcapacity can exist for an extended period if producers expand too much over the course of a business cycle. Specialized physical capacity may have a low liquidation value and be costly to reallocate to a different product. Non-physical capacity, for example financial capital, can be reallocated more quickly to new industries than physical capacity. Now we will look at market share stability. An analyst should examine whether firms' market shares in an industry have been stable over time. Market shares that are highly variable likely indicate a highly competitive industry in which firms have little pricing power. More stable market shares likely indicate less intense competition in the industry. Factors that affect market share stability include barriers to entry, introductions of new products and innovations, and the switching costs that customers face when changing from one firm's products to another. Switching costs, such as the time and expense of learning to use a competitor's product, tend to be higher for specialized or differentiated products. High switching costs contribute to market share stability and pricing power.